I'm Dr. Sarah, a licensed chiropractor.
And I'm Val, clinical research enthusiast and international board-certified lactation consultant.
We are passionate about helping you navigate women's health and wellness topics naturally.
We bring the information and options
so you can make empowered choices.
This is the Empowered Women podcast. Just a reminder, the information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or illness or be taken as medical advice. Always check with your healthcare provider for medical advice.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm super excited because Rachel Stevens is on, and I have been following Rachel for a couple years, probably. Like, I didn't even have a public account when I started following you the first time. Funny enough, I found her through the HIIT Burn team. So Dennis and Kelsey Heenan, they're amazing. For people that love HIIT workouts, you should totally give them a follow. But you would work out with Kelsey. And I remember she like tagged you and stuff, and I'm like, oh, who's that person? You know, and then you just like get hooked into somebody's like life. Isn't it weird how you find people on social media and you're like, oh, I'm so fascinated.
Totally. Yeah.
So Rachel loves exercise, and it was just fun following her because she shared a ton about exercise and health and like things that I was super passionate about and lifting. And your workouts are always good. Like, I would do some of the workouts you posted, but that's not why we decided to have her on. So her journey has been really interesting, and we can talk a little bit more about that, Rachel, but she is a mama first and foremost. So you can tell us about your littles when we get there. She has a daughter and she is expecting a son soon. And she also is an integrative health practitioner. And this is the reason I asked Sarah if we could have Rachel on, because we love giving women information about managing their health, mind, body, and soul holistically. And that's kind of what Rachel does. So welcome, Rachel. Mm-hmm. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for the warm introduction. No, I'm happy to be here. And it's funny to hear that because I kind of got so invested in your life as well via social media. Once we kind of started connecting and I saw that like you were a very holistic mama, and I had reached out. Actually, you were incredibly helpful in my breastfeeding journey with my daughter. I'd reached out multiple times and I was just like, this is so great. I don't like even have to go to the doctor to get, you know, information for a lactation consultant. So I just messaged you. And so, yeah, it's kind of cool how we connected via social media.
I think that is one of like the rare things about social media that we've talked a lot about social media, but there's that aspect of it that when your world's away and you connect with somebody, like, it's just a whole gold mine of information.
Totally. Yeah, I agree.
It can be, it's a strange catch 22 though. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sarah and I talk about this a lot, and Rachel actually takes purposeful social media breaks, which I've tried so hard to implement, you guys. It's not even funny. I'm still reading this book, which has been an ongoing process that I'll link in the show notes. It's called Breaking Up With Your Smartphone. The fact that we have to read a book about this, like, just blows my mind. But you get so, I remember my neighbors who were really close with, who don't live next to us anymore, but they said to me like one time, you just feel like, you know, they know me, but they're like, when you share things, you feel like you really know the person. When like you love that connection, but at the same time, you really don't, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's so strange. You're like, oh my God, I'm so invested. And then you're like, wait, this is like not real life. I need to like go like live my life out here and not in this like electronic bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting. And I do share a lot on social media. And so another aspect of that is sometimes, specifically when I was postpartum, a lot of like my family and friends weren't really reaching out. And I was kind of like bummed that they weren't necessarily reaching out to like see how I was. And then I got the feedback that like they saw me on social media. So they felt like they were connected and like they knew what was going on and everything was great and good. And I was lucky to have a good postpartum journey, but I would still like to have you know, some people reaching out and asking how I was doing, but they just thought that they had kind of done that via social media. So it's interesting because they feel like they're involved in your life, but you don't necessarily know. It's just, it is like a very interesting catch 22. And to your point, Sarah, like there's so many, there are really cool aspects to it, like connecting with people when your world's away. And then I do try to, like, when I feel a little bit sucked in, get like purposeful about taking a quick break. It doesn't, it's not like super long because I run a business from there, but it does make a big difference to just kind of put life back into perspective for a bit.
You feel your brain turn back on when you actually shut it off.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of it though, is to get lost, right?
Totally. I mean, yeah.
But you think clear. Like I can feel that like toxicity of being on my phone too much.
Yeah.
Oh, we all can. And can you imagine, like, I have,
you know, like, can people actually, like, there are some people that can't pick up on it.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know how. I feel like a crazy person sometimes. I'm like, I'm on my phone. So I'm like, I'm so irritated. You can't, so I actually read in that book that you get ADD like symptoms. It induces, or ADHD and ADD like symptoms when you're on there too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I can't focus. It's weird. I say to my husband, I'm like, did I like develop this? I'm like, no, this is ridiculous. But I feel it when I'm on the phone and I can't stay on one task. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you guys do the same thing. I jump around. I got nothing. You think you got something done that you get nothing done. And then you have children on top of that. And you wonder, you know, we know what it does to them. But just think about the impact. Do you know what I'm saying? On us. And then you look at them and you're like, no wonder why there are so many issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That's a big part of me taking the breaks is like I want to instill certain things in my daughter and I don't want her to see me on my phone all the time. And it's not perfect. It's hard to do, but I think that we have to be intentional about it. And now I want to read that book. So definitely link it.
It's good. That one's really good. I feel like some, you know, like some information based books, I'm like, meh, that one's like, she has like a whole course on like, this is ridiculous, like not ridiculous, but the fact that like she has a course that you can purchase on top of this book so that you can, it's like a 30-day program on how to implement. Yeah. And it's really fascinating. And I've already started to do some of it. And I felt like so much better, honestly, like the past couple of days. It's bizarre.
Well, that's Rachel, awesome. Your background is psychology, correct?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I went to school for. Yeah. So I kind of mold it all together. Yep.
So how do you, whenever you're, you know, coaching someone or going through a lot of what you do, do you implement a lot of that degree into it as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think also just life experience, and things that I've been through myself that have kind of gotten me to where I am with really with helping people to heal. And I think that that is the whole kind of thing with integrative health is that we're really looking at the whole person and we're integrating everything as a whole. And so it's a huge part of it. I mean, stress, like chronic stress, just not feeling safe in your environment, like certain things like that, anxiety, like all of that, of course, has an impact on your physical health. So that's huge. And I think especially, you know, when I'm working with people, there's a certain way that we can start to implement change. And I can tell with certain people that they're ready to really dive in. Because as you guys know, like sometimes there are a lot of things that do need to be changed. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, that psychology that goes into that, like, is this person ready for that? Or is all this going to, this change going to be too much for them, too much for their nervous system right now? So we kind of have to then implement things slower, which obviously makes just integrative health so much more like intensive and like there's a lot more support and handholding, I would say, versus like going through a regular Western medicine model when they don't necessarily have the time to like get into those kind of deeper levels with people. And I think it's really important for overall health and healing for sure.
Something I actually sent Val a video this morning about Russell Brand going off on a rant about like
rants kill me
in the last couple years. Yeah. But about ultra processed food and the link to depression and anxiety. And if you really look at, you know, what people are consuming, not only just via phone, but actually through their bodies, there's a lot of mineral depletion. And from your background of just working with Metagenics, which we love Metagenics.
Yeah.
I could see how those two really correlate with one another and how someone who's an integrative health practitioner needs to be on top of all that so that people can get what they need outside of a Western medicine model, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like I said, like to reiterate, it just all goes hand in hand. And when you think about like the thing that we interact with the most in our day is probably food, as well as probably like environmental toxins, what we're putting on our skin multiple times a day, things like that. But so, you know, when you do go in to see your primary care, they don't have the time to necessarily talk about that or ask about that. But it's like, it kind of is mind boggling because it's like, that's what you are interacting with in your body the majority of the time, like the most frequently throughout your day. So if you're continuing to put toxic things on your body, highly processed toxic things in your body, like, of course, that's going to reflect again, physically and mentally, like it's all connected.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like there has been such a shift. And sometimes I say to Sarah, like, I think because we follow like-minded accounts that we always are bombarded with this information. So not everybody's following people that maybe the three of us are. But I feel like we've come so far. It's been like in the past 10 years, we all know, you know, there's like a gut brain connection. And yet it's like you said, people still go to their PCP and they're still just being handed this, like, here's a, you know, you have a symptom and here's a prescription, or I'm not really sure. You know, a lot of times you go to a doctor and they're just like, I don't really know. You know, I've done all this lab work and we can't figure it out. But the research on is there. Like everything going in your body is having a direct effect on your mental health too, not just your physical health. So it's like, why are we still not there in modern medicine with like, what can we do? And I think the issue is that there's a system, and the system is you have a symptom and here's your treatment option.
Yeah. And it's interesting you guys mentioned that, because I was like just having a conversation with my husband about that, where it's like, I don't know if it's because of the people I follow and I surround myself with, even the people that I work with, like in what I see, there are a lot of hormonal issues. There are a lot of gut issues. There are a lot of people having trouble trying to conceive. And so I have my thoughts on that. And it's like, is it just because those are the people that I'm seeing and attracting? I think maybe it's a little bit of both. There definitely, I think that stuff is absolutely on the rise. Chronic disease is on the rise, you know, more than ever. But it's also, you know, I think because those are the people I attract and those are like the accounts that I follow, obviously I'm going to get that information more than probably the general person. And it's a little bit harder too, to like not be ignorant to that stuff and to try to live like a really healthy lifestyle in today's society of just like rush and do things fast and, you know, get the quickest meal or whatever it may be. It takes a little bit more work. And so I think sometimes people can like turn a blind eye to what they really should be doing and what we maybe know what we should be doing until it becomes too much, and then they have to address it. But it's like, what if within the system this stuff was taught and discussed with your doctor early on, and things started changing just systematically with everything, our food, the products that we use, things like that? Like if it were more preventative, like imagine where our society's health would be. It would be in a much different state.
I think that comes back down to what you just said, is like preventative. And I mean, like, you really can't go to your PCP and simply ask for like vitamin lab workups.
Yeah.
Like,
right. And you guys are familiar with like all of the advanced thyroid and hormonal and mineral analysis and gut testing. A lot of physicians don't even know how to read those. I mean, they like, yeah. That wasn't part of their training. They don't even know what to test for. I think the problem is that they're not being
paid. You have to know more than they do it to ask for it.
Right. Yeah. And doctors aren't being paid for wellness. I mean, that's the bottom line. The insurance company is not reimbursing for preventative care. You're not getting paid. Like, and it's a shame because in ancient times, I mean, that is how doctors were paid on if their patients stayed healthy. Mm-hmm. It's like an Eastern concept that we cannot integrate here. And we're up against a lot of big corporation with big money to ever change something like that. And I do think there's a lot of physicians who are having mindset shifts and feel differently. Like, we've seen it even over the pandemic, you know, with more doctors coming out, you know, with concepts and holistic thing, you know, and speaking out against like all of that. And it's just, I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime.
So
Is it
because of like this kind of paradigm that led you down your coaching path? Like, do you want to go into a little bit of what you do and how you approach health then?
Yeah. And I first want to just say that to that conversation, I don't want to minimize the fact that like doctors and the system get certain things right. And I know you guys know that and discuss it.
Yeah.
And, like, there are certain things that they really got right. And there are certain things that they also really got wrong. And in my opinion, women's health might be one of those.
Oh,
my opinion as well.
Huge.
Yeah. So
what? I mean,
when we need them, and it's important for us to know, you know, when we need them and what they are good for. And then when we need to look outside of that system. So. But yeah, I mean, I would love to explain a little bit about, I guess just what got me here. And I think like the biggest thing is from a very young age, I really like had this yearning. And when I think back about it, it's a little bit strange because my family, we grew up healthy. We didn't eat like terribly bad, but my family wasn't ultra uber healthy or anything like that. My mom wasn't like incredibly like hippie holistic or anything. But I did play sports my whole life from a young age, like age 4, I was on the swim team. And I always just had this like yearning to kind of optimize my body in a way. And just learning more about that. And like my first job was with Sprouts Farmers Market, like a natural farmers market. I was working in the vitamin department, and they had a little computer there, like that you could type in different like vitamins and things like that. And so when people were in there, I would just like research different supplements and different health things. And it really was a great like first job. From there, I actually started working for a holistic health practitioner in the area who sold pharmaceutical grade supplements. And that's kind of where I got introduced to those, and I learned so much from her. I ended up working with her through college and managing her shop, and could really see how these like nutraceuticals and herbs and lifestyle changes were literally changing people's lives. And then I ended up having my own health journey because, like a lot of us at a young age, I was put on birth control. And I think also, like a lot of women, I fell into diet culture. And I was over exercising and I was under eating and I was consuming way too much caffeine. And then I got into a toxic relationship. I wasn't feeling safe. There was all of these things that just kind of boiled up under the surface that really wrecked my health, my hormonal health, which is so tied to everything else. And so I had to kind of start going the route of like seeing different practitioners, because when I would go to my doctor, they would just suggest that I get on a different birth control pill. And then I wanted to get off the pill, and they didn't think that like the pill wasn't causing any issues. post birth control syndrome like wasn't a thing. This is like what my OBs were telling me, like making me feel a little bit crazy. And I was like, you know, in my 20s, just trying to figure out life, and my hormones were just a mess. So I just had to start seeing different people and learned a lot through that journey, changed literally my whole life around. From there, I started working for Metagenics, which is a pharmaceutical grade supplement company. I was a territory manager. I went through a very extensive training, and basically my job was to go around to different like naturopathic doctors, anyone who was involved in natural medicine, integrative doctors, natural doctors, DOs, some MDs even who were in hospital systems and wanted to like learn more, a lot of chiropractors. And I would, you know, teach them the science behind different protocols and different supplements. And then I was kind of just like, wow, I'm teaching doctors how to do these things with their patients. And then I'm hearing the success, but I'm kind of this third party who's not like really involved in really helping the patients out, but I can do that, you know? So I just decided to start my own practice and kind of go down the road of becoming an integrative health practitioner. And then I opened my own online practice and have been seeing patients since then.
That's so awesome.
That is really cool. I know.
So yeah, a long journey, I think, but I think it is helpful to explain, because I feel like a lot of women fall into that, like they get on the pill, they're over exercising, you know, and then like life kind of goes crazy in your 20s and you're trying to figure things out, and it does really impact a lot of your health. So
you know what I find interesting is like almost everyone that we have talked to has the same story in a different way.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It's like we all end up in this holistic world because of literally the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's not a problem, quote.
Yeah.
But it absolutely is. Like it's a problem.
Yeah. Well,
I also, as you were talking, Rachel, I was thinking, and we all three of us, but most of the people we've had on here have had similar stories with birth control, which so many young women are put on it or ask for it. And a lot of what we end up doing or the side effects are from the actual birth control. So you're over exercising because you're probably gaining weight and not able to build muscle.
Yes.
You know, you're not building muscle or losing the weight from the pill. There's a clear... There is such a scientific, the evidence is there, and yet a lot of people don't want to talk about it between depression and mental health issues and being on birth control. And so we're all like, you know, we all have these, like, I fell into like a depressive trap. I ended up with an eating disorder because I was trying to combat the effects of the shot in college after being on different pills before. And it's like, you end up in these like vicious cycles because of it. And then you get off of it and you're like, oh, wait a second. I'm like a person again who feels like mentally more stable and normal. And you're like, what was happening? Like what was going on with me that time? And you know, you think back on how terrible you probably felt. Like, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I think like, how long did I feel so shitty? And yet, you know, I just kept downing more coffee, you know, like just to wake, you know, get over it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting to hear you guys say that so many women have that story that you've chatted with, because I feel the same way. And it is like, okay, when do we realize that this is an issue? Because still today, doctors are pushing this on people. And like, I just had a client who got off of the pill almost a year ago, and she went to her OB and kind of expressed the concern of like post birth control syndrome, and are there things I can do to help mitigate that? And her OB just totally like wrote her off and actually put on her chart like, client is high strung, because she was inquiring about like how getting off of this pill that she had been on for probably almost a decade was going to impact your body. What? And it's like, how can you say that it doesn't have an impact? Like, it is so wild.
I think it comes down to the fact that they don't actually really learn how it works in the body. It's just like, here you go. If this one doesn't work, our backup plan is the same thing with a different name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What kind of backup plan is that?
Yeah. Well, and then again, they're going through a system that's so old that's still teaching the same stuff, just more modernized. Mm-hmm. And then you get out of school and they need to make money. And if you're getting $25 or $35 copays from a patient and you need to see X number of patients a day, you don't, like Rachel said, you don't, in their defense, most of them don't have time to do the research or learn the natural stuff, or they need to make money as a physician and pay their employees, and they need to see 25 patients a day at least.
Yeah. Or it's just that their hands are tied because that is the standard of care. And so they can't really go a different route. Like, there's a lot of liability with certain things. So, you know, the standard of care is a patient comes in with PCOS or some kind of hormonal imbalance or acne, and they are put on the pill. And that's what they know. But also, even if they maybe know that it's not the best, like, I don't even think that in certain hospital systems they can share that information with the patient. Like, that is the standard of care, and that's what they are supposed to do. And so that's what they do, you know? And it just doesn't work for most women, unfortunately.
Could you imagine, and like, this is a really bad analogy, but like, talking to a girlfriend about like a standard for a boyfriend, and the bar is just so low, but you're like, it's just the standard. Like,
it's just how it is. Get over it.
Well, that's even interesting because there are studies about the pill impacting also who you choose as a partner.
We talked about that. Your pheromones. It affects your pheromones. It totally. So, and people joke with us about how they say like they swear they're divorced because of that.
Yes.
Literally. I'm pretty sure that's what happens with me.
That's funny, but like, how crazy, like, how, like, not crazy, but how legitimate, like, why are we not, like you said, how is this still, there's not a warning label, right? Like, that comes on it for that. Although, I will say, there are package inserts. People don't know them. They don't understand them. They don't know how to read them. And a lot of times, doctors can't sit there and read through them.
Right.
But if you were to look at a package insert for anything you put on and in your body, a lot of times what we're talking about, it's listed there.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with that.
There's like, okay, well, there's these side effects, but, you know, then they want to start saying, well, benefits versus risks. Well, we're at the point in society where the risk, like the benefits do not outweigh the risks for a lot of things, in my opinion. And we need to stop with that like data driven mindset because it's not experience. Like, this is not people's lived experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there, I mean, we could talk forever about this. I think like with that, with the data and with like the research, that's actually very problematic as well. Like, what is the research that you know, the regular MDs and OBs are seeing? Like, where is that research coming from? Who is funding it? How was the study done? And also, as you know, just a regular person going into the doctor, like, we often don't even know how to like look into that. Like, we're just taking their word for it because they went to school and, you know, they spent the time and money, but like a lot of these studies are flawed. And so when they're saying that, like, there's no evidence for, like, post-birth control syndrome, for example, it's like, what about the millions and billions of anecdotal stories that we have from women saying that they're having this impact? Like, what studies are you seeing? Is it just that studies haven't been done on this because birth control makes them so much money? Like, I don't know, but I would guess that's probably the case.
Well, it's like, it's so weird because right now there's a huge push for like sexual like what's the word I'm looking for? Like, telling people it's okay to just have as many partners as possible. So, like, what is the word I'm looking for? Oh, my God. It doesn't matter. Pregnancy brain. But, like, we're just telling people, like, it's okay because you have birth control to back up. Be promiscuous and, like, and that's fine. But you also, like, that is a risk. Mm-hmm. But, like, what you were saying, Val, like, what is the true risk? Like, mm-hmm. would you not, like, want to protect your mental health too if you knew what it would do?
I also feel like there's an issue here when it comes to the fact that a lot of us got on birth control when we were under 18. So you're a minor. You actually don't even have the mental capacity to think, how is this going to impact me in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
Yeah.
But the doctor can't go to your parents and say, these are the risks of this birth control that your child wants. You know what I mean? Because one, that's like doctor patient confidentiality, mm-hmm. but also we're allowing young women as young as, you know, 15, 14 to go into the doctor's office and, you know, be put on these medications and let them make their own decision about this. When I don't know that maybe that's should be allowed. Like, maybe there needs to be a parent that has to, like, hear, like, this is the prescription we're prescribing your child. Here are the benefits versus the risks. You know, I think there's a whole side of this that can't happen that maybe needed to be happening.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's such an interesting point. I agree with. It's like, I don't think at that age you have the capacity to make that decision for yourself, especially when the alternative is, well, what you think the alternative is that every time you have sex, you're going to get pregnant. You're not ready to have a kid.
Yeah, like, and that's not what your parents want. That's not what you want. Right. Like, so it's like, there's so many pieces, you know, to that and when they prescribe it for young girls and what they prescribe it for. But I don't know, that's complicated. It was just a thought.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's interesting.
So, I mean, for as many as the health professionals that we've talked to who have had a similar backstory, do you find that whenever you're working with women that they too have this similar backstory and that's what they're looking for whenever they're going to you, is like having all these symptoms, they don't really know where it's coming from, and you're helping them like essentially detox from potentially 2 decades of being on birth control?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the majority of women that I work with and know have all been on the pill. And I think that that's a huge contributing factor to their overall health, especially like once you get into maybe their late 20s, 30s, and they're starting to think about trying to conceive and things like that. So I would say yes. And that is something where it's like, I wonder, is it that like I attract those people? I think it's probably a little bit of both, but I do think that a big aspect of that is the fact that this is so prevalent nowadays, because so many women have been put on this pill. But also, I mean, obviously we're talking about the birth control pill right now, but I think even if you're not necessarily one of the women who was on it for a decade plus, there are so many other factors in just society today that really impact women's health, like especially kind of through that transition period, like I said, diet culture, toxic products on your skin, toxic environmental products, your food that you're eating, just the way that like women have to really hustle and drive in society today, like, isn't necessarily how we're meant to be all month long. You know, if we're really following how our cycles work and our patterns, like there should be kind of, there is that period of like go, go, go and feeling really great. And then there's that kind of period before you get your period when like maybe we should be a little bit more relaxed and calm. And so I think yes, birth control obviously wreaks havoc on women's health, and I think that's a huge component. But I think also too, even for those women who haven't been on the pill, maybe for the minority of women who have not, there are other factors that they're having to navigate every single day just with the society that we live in that aren't set up for women's health. Like the world isn't set up to kind of take a break before your period. Like you can't be like, okay, I'm going to tap out now, boss. Like I'll see you in 2 weeks, you know? So yeah, I think it's
12 weeks
kind of everything. What was that?
I need 12 weeks of vacation a year.
What is her name? Is it Alicia Vitelli? Alyssa?
Alyssa Beatty.
She wrote Woman Code. I started reading her new book, and it's so incredible. Again, we'll link it in the show notes. But she does go into kind of how you can set your... we do live in a modern society, and no, we can't go sit in the red tent for a week or rest like a week before appearance. But like how you can set your life up to be able to, you know, function at your best during the each week of your cycle. So we'll link that in the show notes, but it's truly life changing.
Yeah.
When you start to think of your life as a woman according to the four different phases of your cycle and sync the rest of your life up with it.
That's essentially biohacking the female body. I mean, like, Afri is the biohacker of his body, but like that's for a man. What about for a woman? Like different.
Yeah. And that book is awesome. I highly recommend everyone read it because it does give some practical tools to like function as a woman in the world today and live a healthy life.
Okay. So Rachel, when would somebody or a woman come to see you or an integrative health practitioner? Like, can you give some examples of conditions or symptoms women are having that they would need to work with you or maybe start to look outside of the traditional Western medical system?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot of different times that you could really benefit from working with somebody more integrative and holistic. One would be when just the traditional model has failed you. So for example, if you're just feeling off, I think also women need to really trust their intuition. We know our bodies. If you go to the doctor and you're just feeling off and they run some basic labs and they come back and they tell you, hey, everything is normal, like it's in your head, here's, you know, maybe an anti-anxiety medication or something, and that doesn't like feel right for you. And you're just like, no, this isn't it. Like, so anytime that model has maybe failed you or doesn't feel right intuitively is a really great indicator that it's time to find a different practitioner and probably somebody who's a little bit more holistic and who can look at things in a deeper level. A lot of maybe conditions that I see this with and a lot of reasons that people see me, mostly women, though I do work with men as well, but number one would be hormone health. And this is a case where, you know, I kind of mentioned earlier, like if you're going to your OB and they're kind of just dismissing you because you're nervous about something, or if you're going in and you're telling them that like, I just feel so off the last 2 weeks of my cycle and I get super puffy and I have really bad periods and my moods are crazy. And they're like, okay, well, we'll run some labs. And they run some, again, pretty basic labs. And they come back and they tell you, hey, everything is normal, you're fine, or just get on the pill. And that doesn't feel right. Again, time to go see somebody else who can dive a little bit deeper, run actual hormone labs for you, because the way that they're run, whether it's blood, saliva, or urine, that matters. The labs that are run, like you had mentioned earlier, Val, like are they running a full thyroid panel or are they just looking at TSH? Because TSH isn't your thyroid hormone. So are they seeing the active thyroid hormone in your body and where those levels are at? Because oftentimes I find that patients will come to me with a normal TSH level, but their free T3 and free T4 are totally off. And that's obviously going to impact downstream everything else. Additionally, like they don't usually, I've never had any PCP run cortisol before. And cortisol is incredibly important. We're talking about overall health and of course hormonal health, because that's your fight or flight hormone. That's your survival hormone. So if cortisol is high, which by the way is very common in the world that we live in today, then the rest of your hormones are not going to be prioritized. And that makes sense when you think about it, because again, it's fight or flight, it's survival. So your body doesn't know at this point whether your cortisol is high because you're running from a lion that's going to kill you, or if it's high because you just are in traffic in LA all the time and you have chronic stress, right? But cortisol is cortisol nonetheless. So it thinks that you're running from that lion. It's probably not the best time to be fertile or have babies. Mm-hmm. So if we have high cortisol and that's not being looked at, then none of your other sex hormones are going to function properly. So that is one case. Essentially, to wrap that up, it's just if they're not running the right hormone labs for you, if they're giving you a hard time on running labs, mm-hmm. and if they're just kind of brushing your symptoms off. Another big one would be gut health. That's another huge one that I see people for. A lot of times I'll have women who will be, or men who will be referred to an endocrinologist. And again, even though they're a specialist, I'm sorry, not an endocrinologist, a gastroenterologist, talking about gut health now, not hormone health. So even though like a gastroenterologist is technically a specialist in like the gut and all of that stuff, they again have their playbook, which is typically antibiotics. So you are somebody who has chronic bloating, or you can't eat off of a very, like you have a very strict meal plan that you cannot go off of. You don't understand why you're bloated all the time. Like, why do you look 6 months pregnant after you eat this? And you go to the gastroenterologist and they say, here, take this antibiotic. And it may work for a short period of time, but they'll even tell you, you may have to come back for multiple rounds of this. The antibiotic, by the way, doesn't discriminate. It just kills all bacteria, good and bad. So it's just exacerbating the problem, because then you don't have any good gut bacteria to rebuild your gut. So that's one where the system has seemed to fail a lot of clients who come to me, and then they want a more holistic approach to healing their gut, and we'll do a whole gut restoration program where we're killing out the bad bacteria, we're restoring the gut, we're kind of closing up the tight junctions in the gut, we're rebuilding, re-inoculating with good bacteria. That would be kind of the top two. I also see a lot of people for menopausal symptoms, women who don't want to go on HRT, for example. And then I also see a lot of women for weight loss. So no matter really what phase in their life, I work with them for like a sustainable weight loss program. And sometimes it's not even weight loss. Like, I'm actually working with a pregnant woman who's going through my Lean for Life program. It's not because we're trying to get her to lose weight or cut calories while she's pregnant, obviously, but it's coaching around how to eat a healthy and sustainable diet that's going to just help your health and well-being long term. So that's probably a long-winded way of answering your question, but I think
it was really thorough. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you want to like optimize your health and do it more naturally, to sum it up.
I feel like a lot of people who come to me as a chiropractor, like they're on that brink of like chronic health issues. Yeah. Right. And then they don't understand why they're filling out a gut health survey. They don't understand why we're asking all these in-depth questions just for like low back and neck pain. And it's like, because most people who are at this point, their guts are destroyed. Their hormones are off. That fight or flight response is on because it's probably multifaceted at this point, but your cortisol levels make a huge difference. Your gut health makes a huge difference. And they're not getting the correct answers from their doctors. Oh, it's just genetic.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not everything in life is genetic. It takes a lot of expression sometimes to get to that point.
Yeah.
It's very much epigenetic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that, again, that's been proven time and time again. You could have the genes there. That doesn't mean they're going to express in a negative fashion, or that they're going to get turned on. Well, that it's the same thing, but for people that don't understand that, like, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. There's the potential for it to happen. Now, yes, sure, you have more of a disposition, but then you should know, okay, if I have a family history of X, Y, or Z, what can I be doing? Working with a Rachel maybe to figure out, okay, maybe I should get some testing done, or maybe we should like tweak my diet this way, or use this supplement. So I don't have to be on a statin my whole life. Like, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Yeah. And you said a couple of things, Rachel, that I really want to like drive home. So one is, women are using birth control, or maybe they're not. You're just in a certain state of health based on our current state of affairs, right? And like what we eat and what we use, X, Y, and Z. Then they want to get pregnant. And we know that you need to be in your most, you should be in your most optimum health to conceive quickly, to have a healthy pregnancy for you and the baby. That's a problem for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say this, as an IBCLC, what we see happening so much more is there are so many clinical things that have to do with hormone, thyroid, environmental factors that are affecting people's ability to breastfeed. So mm-hmm. then we have huge issues here. You have women who can't get pregnant yes. because of the state of their health, women who can't make a full milk supply or breastfeed at all because of the state of their health. Yes. And then we have a huge problem in this culture, which is that, and Sarah heard me say this at a talk 2 weeks ago, the state of our health is horrific. Like, we have a crisis. Like, there is not health for a lot of people. Yeah. And it starts, you know, at these places, and nobody like wants to worry about it or think about it until then they're having these issues. And it's like, mm-hmm. I can't fix it for you now. I mean, this is yeah. what, you know, you can and help, but then you get to a point where you're like, okay, so now you need to get your doctor to help you address X, Y, and Z. And they don't know how, or they're not running mm-hmm. the right labs, like you right. said.
Right.
And it's just unfortunate because these are things that people want and they think about, and you just think yeah. it's, oh, okay, it's going to be fine. It happens. It's natural.
Yep.
And like all yeah. three of us know that's not really what ends up happening yeah. for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, women are literally why we have humans in this world. So don't you think that health and fertility should be a priority for women?
Mm-hmm. You would think.
Right. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It truly is. And I think that, like we've mentioned multiple times today, like, this is a problem that is getting more and more severe. And it does start at a young age. Like, if you can breastfeed, like, you know, if you can set yourself up to be able to breastfeed, that is going to help your children. Like, there are a lot of studies that say that breast milk is really great for kids. Like,
well, and it's like, good for us too. Like,
it's good for the mom. Yeah.
The state of our health. It's, and I said this too, it does start there, and it's super important, and women yeah. and babies need it. I mean, as a world power, we have the highest infant and mother mortality rate of any yeah. country.
Yeah.
Of any modernized country.
I yeah. mean, three times more than the next leading country.
It's like, what? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. You just.
It's wild. It's so wild. And I do think, like, there are things even now today that, like, my daughter's one, and I think about for her, and it's little things that we can do every single day that make a really big difference in our lives. Like, I don't really want her eating out of plastic containers or drinking out of plastic, you know, like, can we get glass, or can we get wood, or can we get mm-hmm. food grade silicone for them? Like, what kind of food are these kids eating? Like, you know, what are you putting on their skin? Like, all of that, even from a young age, especially I think for females with hormones and stuff, like, it does make a difference. And I think it makes more of a difference than we're admitting right now. You know, like, most people don't understand, and they think that it's such a small thing. But to go back to what I said very, very early on, like, what are you interacting with the most every single day in your environment? Food, what you're putting on your body, you know, people that you surround yourself with, like, that's the stuff that really matters. And that's where we really need to start making changes if we really want to impact everyone's health, specifically women's health, specifically with fertility. And that impacts the next generation, like, hugely. Big so time. We should probably start to figure out a way to get this right. And I don't know the answer within the system of how that will work. We're probably not going to solve it today, unfortunately. But yeah, I think
we really try to, like, every podcast.
We do. Yeah. Every time we talk about it. Like, what can we do?
Well, that's the way, right?
I don't know what else.
Yeah, this is the way, is just to talk about it and to share the information, and hopefully it opens up someone else's world, and hopefully they share it with somebody else. Like, and then hopefully they're talking to their OBs, and their OBs are maybe like, oh, maybe this woman is right. You know, it's a small, gradual, but I think the more conversations we have about it,
the better.
Obviously, the better. Yeah.
You actually mentioned yeah. that you do work with men too. Mm-hmm. And yeah. we talk a lot about female fertility on here, obviously, the Empower Women pod. But part of empowering women is learning about men's fertility too.
Yes.
And male fertility, and you guys probably know this, is at all-time lows. So sperm count and quality is absolutely horrific as well.
Yeah.
So there's two parts to the problem. And that also comes back to what Rachel is saying, and Dr. Sarah knows this, that what men are consuming and using and are in the environment are also affecting their sperm count and quality. And that is going to make it harder to try to conceive. It's also making for really sick babies potentially. Yeah. Like, you know, I just genetically, that's a concern down the line or even sooner than that.
Well, we learned with Heather on our placenta encapsulation podcast that the man's DNA makes most of the placenta. So if a man is not healthy.
I didn't know that. That's wild. Yeah.
We were like, do we keep this in here? That means they did a lot of work.
Yeah. No, I guess they don't get the credit for that. No.
I need it. They just provided the DNA. So I mean, if they're not healthy, we think that we're having maybe miscarriages, maybe there's not a placenta. There's a placenta issue then.
Yeah. I love that you guys bring that up because that is something that is so important. I think because my world, I'm working mostly with women are coming to me with these things. We always talk about the partner, and it's something that I always tell them, like when I send a protocol over, which again, usually has, you know, lifestyle changes, supplement changes, diet changes. And I'm like, I know we're making a lot of change. And I know that this seems like a lot. And I don't want you to think because you're making all this change, that it means that this isn't 50-50. Like, this is not all you. This is also your husband, your partner, and what he's eating and the supplements that he's taking and the things that he's putting on his body. All of that matters, right? Mm-hmm. So like, if you're doing all of this work, like your partner needs to be also doing the work and doing the heavy lifting. And so I do usually recommend supplements, diet, lifestyle things for the partner as well. And usually they're very supportive, but I think that as women, we're also usually, you know, the primary decision makers for health in our families. And that even starts with trying to conceive. And a lot of it just falls on the woman, even though it is 50-50. So that is absolutely a discussion that needs to be had. You're right, Val. Like, it's a problem. It's a rising problem. And I think that it has to do with the food, the toxins, all of that just wreaking havoc on everyone's hormonal health. So I appreciate you bringing that up because I think more women need to hear it. And if your partner isn't on board with doing 50% of the work, there's something that needs to be discussed and fixed then before you have a child with that person, because it does need to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the end of the story.
This, don't judge me from where I'm going with this conversation. a couple years ago, I think it was Nicki Minaj put out a video about like how men and what like they're eating and putting on their bodies has a direct link to their partner. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't want somebody touching me that didn't wash their hands after eating a barbecue, blah blah blah. And I was like, okay, this goes much beyond food. Like,
it was superficial, but she's not being superficial. She was presenting it in a superficial way, but it's much deeper.
Yeah. Like, what if the toxins in their hair gel or shaving cream or body wash is having a direct impact on your fertility? Like, that is important.
It is.
I mean, even like just the whole microbiome, like if you're having intercourse with that person, like you are literally sharing bacteria.
Yes.
And that is something that also impacts fertility. Like, if we don't have the right bacteria down there, and if it is because of the man, like, which it can be, that can impact fertility, right? So I think, you're making out with this person, you're kissing them, you're sharing food, like you're sharing a microbiome with this person. You are sharing bacteria with them every single day. It's important that they are on the same page with you. And I didn't know Nicki Minaj made that statement, but like, it, that's it's true. Like, let's talk about that more. Like, it matters. You're sharing everything with this person. So
all the germaphobes are throwing up right now.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
It's a trickle down effect. Cause for all the women listening, remember that your vaginal health has a direct link and effect to your child's gut health. Okay. Yeah. And if you think that's disgusting, you really need to dig into the research, because the baby is inoculated with what they need to be as they're coming out of the vagina. There's a whole theory as to why babies come out facing the anus, and they're not supposed to come out sunny side up. Like, there's a whole, you know, there's a movement, like, I think evidence-based birth has info on this, but if you have a C-section, like, they can wipe the baby down with vaginal secretions, or you should ask for that. Like, it's super important. Like, that's your baby's first exposure, you know. Their gut is sterile before that, and the quality and quantity of what's there actually affects them for a lifetime.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I put all of my clients on a women's probiotic that literally inoculates the vaginal bacteria. And oftentimes it can help with like the group beta stress and things like that as well. So just that can be like the missing link for fertility sometimes, where it's like, we just need to get that bacteria healthy again. And again, this is for men too. Like, you need to make sure that everyone is on board.
So, I mean, going back to like a chiropractic thing, we always talk about like phases of degeneration. Like, you have normal, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. When people are coming to you, if you would have to like categorize them, do you feel that more people are coming to you in that later phase than,
What is the
healing process?
Absolutely. And I mean, we think of it, you know, similarly, but like a lot of times it will be kind of like what alarm state are they in? You know, like, has their body completely shut off from making cortisol? Mm-hmm. Because then they're totally like complete burnout. So there are different stages, and I will say that most are like in that stage 3 phase, where it's like there are a lot of things that need to be addressed. Wow. And it makes healing much more difficult, as I'm sure you see as well, Dr. Sarah. Mm-hmm. Maybe difficult, I don't want to even use that term with healing. It makes it maybe a little bit more time of a process, time consuming. It's not as quick of a way to heal, for sure, when you're kind of on the total opposite end. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, like, I understand it's a problem. Yes, I wish that people would come to me earlier, but I understand why they get there before they come to me or come to any other like natural practitioner. It's because they kind of have to go through the system and have that fail them, because that's technically, I mean, it's not the easier way, right? Because it got them into that more stage 3 phase, and now we have a longer healing journey. But it seems like the easier way, because of the way the system and society is set up, to just go to your doctor and to get some kind of prescription and to take it. And, you know, and I even deal with that when people are working with me. Like, I have a client right now with gut health, and it's kind of like her gastroenterologist had prescribed an antibiotic, and it's like, do I just take this antibiotic? And I'm like, well, you can take it, and then you probably take it again and then again and again. It's never going to solve the issue, but if you want a quick fix right now, then, you know. So I get the appeal to kind of going that route first, and usually people go that route a couple of times before they're like, okay, this isn't working, and now I need to go a different route. So while I wish people would come to me sooner, because it would make the process a lot faster, I understand that that's also just not how it's set up for most people. Maybe unless you're, you know, very educated on this, and maybe you've grown up in a household that teaches you about these things. And like, that's my hope for my daughter, that she will know moving forward, like, we're going to always try natural approaches first. Then if those don't work, if something really needs to be addressed within the system, then we will. But again, that's not the majority of the way that people address things in today's world, unfortunately.
I think it'd be super interesting to do maybe a subsequent podcast on like parenting. Like,
yeah,
all of our kids are very young. Uh-huh. And it's like, what are our thoughts and feelings on like how to present this to our kids?
Mm-hmm. That would be super awesome to do. Yeah, I think it's something that is very important. And I mm-hmm. never want to overwhelm people. I don't want to like people to feel that they've done anything wrong or anything like that, whether it's with kids or with their own health. But I think sharing information on ways that you might be able to make small changes, like moving forward, can be very impactful for people. So yeah, I think that would be awesome.
That'd be great.
I want to ask you something, Rachel, before you kind of tell us about which types of programs and ways people can work with you. When someone works with you, is it in the cost? Are functional labs that you might need included in that, or the labs additional? And do you see, this is really my interest, do you see people's insurance reimbursing them or covering those? Because mm-hmm. I did a ton of functional lab testing like this past year, and mm-hmm. we paid out of pocket for it. So I think a lot of times money is a huge barrier mm-hmm. to some of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, that's why people are coming in that stage three kind of alarm phase, because it's easier to just go through insurance. Unfortunately, I can't take insurance. Most mm-hmm. naturopaths can't take insurance even. So yes, in certain cases, to answer your question, I do have options where you can purchase a lab plus a consultation. If, for example, you know exactly what you need, or if we've chatted, I have a free 15-minute discovery call. I usually recommend people take that first, and then I kind of tell them which kind of road to go down.
Okay.
So if they did, if we had chatted and I said, oh, I think you just need the hormone test, you know, and then we'll have one-time consultation after that. In that case, labs are included, but most of my clients go through my coaching programs. Labs are not included in those programs, and insurance does not cover them. And so they are costly. I actually don't make any money on labs.
I know. You just pay. You're just paying the lab. Right. And
I'm just paying the lab. And it's kind of a hassle because I have to send the labs out, all of that stuff. But it's a way to get the information that we need to get. And so I do try to meet the client where they're at. And I do try to educate first on like, if you can get your doctor to run some of these labs, that would be really helpful.
Then maybe your insurance will cover, X, Y, and Z first, and then we can jump into something else.
Yep. Yeah. And usually at least they'll do, you know, like a general panel, CBC, things like that, which are helpful to look at. But typically, like for hormone testing, I do like to see saliva testing versus blood testing, because blood is really not what's bioavailable to use in the body. It's bound to protein. So I don't really know what's available for your body to actually utilize hormonally. And so it does get costly. And I definitely take that into consideration. There are payment plans you can do on my site. And then sometimes if you have an HSA or an FSA account,
you can use those. Yeah.
Sometimes you do have to look into it, because each one is kind of different. And I have like written letters for people. I have, you know, provided detailed receipts, where sometimes if they go back and they kind of send those in and like petition, they will get it covered. So it might be a little bit of extra work, but it's totally worth trying. Mm-hmm. And so that it is, you know, sad, and it's hard, because I understand that it's costly. And I have a lot of people that come to me for fertility, and it's less costly than an IVF
or something along those lines with a fertility specialist. Yeah.
Right. Which I will say, like, I have, and this happens a lot, where they will go to an endocrinologist, and the endocrinologist will run estrogen, TSH, maybe like, you know, CBC, and they'll tell them like everything looks fine.
It tells you nothing. Like,
you didn't even run your progesterone. Like, that's your pregnancy hormone. Like, what cycle day did you take this on, by the way? Because that matters. We don't know what your thyroid is doing at all from TSH. Like, and then they're telling them like, okay, now you owe me $1,500 a month, because we have to start IVF, because I can't tell if anything's wrong. Like, it doesn't look like anything's wrong, but obviously something's wrong because you haven't conceived. So we're going to start this process. And it's like, okay, so then for them to spend, you know, $400 with me doing a hormone panel and then some follow-up appointments, and then you have to purchase supplements as well on top of it. And you're probably going to have to start purchasing organic food and grass-fed meats, which is going to be a little bit more costly, but that is usually going to be less expensive than going that route.
Especially, so, yeah. Unfortunately, IVF is not a one-time thing.
Oh, totally.
The success rate is very low, actually. And I just read a statistic on it. I'll have to add it to the show notes, but it's very low.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just frustrating because even if there are physicians who want to go that route or are like, oh, if I could give you a Dutch test, that would be so much more conclusive. Mm-hmm. The patient doesn't want to pay. I know my Dutch test was like $400 or something. Like, I forget what it was. And that was just one that we chose to run. You know, there was other stuff in addition to that. And it's like, this is what people are up against. Now you have the insurance system.
Right.
Yeah.
And different insurance companies with no standards and everybody doing whatever the heck they want and deciding what they're going to pay for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to cover, you know, all the sick stuff. But again, preventative and wellness is not making them money.
Right.
Where, so the system needs to shift in multiple, you know, on multiple fronts, which makes it 10 times harder. Because it's not just the medical model, it's who's paying for it too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's hugely important and problematic. For
it's
sure.
Just
and
sad. It's, I know the whole thing is very frustrating.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yep.
We always ask this question. What is the one thing that women can do right now to feel empowered? It doesn't have to be health related. It could be whatever you think.
Oh my gosh. That's a great question. I think the biggest thing is trusting their intuition. I think that is health related, you know, as well, but it's everything related. And I feel like I don't want to sound like too out there and woo woo, but I feel like women. Okay, perfect. Same. But I think that like women have this like true magic about them. And that's why we can create life and sustain life. And it's something that, again, like I think society has kind of taken away from us a lot bit. And it's so powerful and it's so empowering when you start to realize like that little like niggle that you have in your stomach or your head, or like I call them downloads. Like sometimes I'll just get a download, like something just drops in and I'm like, you need to trust that. Mm-hmm. Like that is, it's wisdom. Like it's wisdom. Yeah. It's your womanly wisdom from being a woman and your ancestors and all of that. Like, so I think definitely trusting your intuition on every level, whether that's health related, whether it's what partner you choose, what job you choose, the life that you decide to live, where you decide to live, like how you decide to raise your children, when you want to have children, like just take a second, check in with yourself and trust whatever comes in intuitively for you.
I love that. I think I mentioned in a podcast way early on that there is literal research on women's intuition versus men's, and it's like double success rate. Like,
yeah.
It's so high.
Yeah. But
it's, I mean, the song Witchy Woman was there written for a reason. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll do this podcast with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Well, Rachel, we loved having you on. Is there any other parting wisdom you want to leave us before we tell people where they can find you?
I think, again, trusting the intuition is huge. And I think also the sooner that you can start thinking about your health, the better. So again, to kind of go back to what Dr. Sarah was saying, if you can get here before we get to that stage three or that alarm stage, like let's check in sooner. It's just going to make things a lot easier. So, and just making small daily changes makes a huge difference, a bigger difference than you can even think. So you know, start buying organic food, start using natural products on your skin and around your house. Start eating out of glass containers instead of plastic. Talk to your partner about these things. Yeah. I think that stuff is truly very powerful. So let's start the road to preventative medicine before we get down, you know, the rabbit hole of like a chronic issue.
Love it.
Well, guys, you can find her at Rachel Stevens Wellness on Instagram. And there's a link there in her link tree to her website, all her course offerings, all kinds of good stuff. Go check her out. Go follow her. Trust me, you'll love it.
No, I love a good website. I love it. It's very clean and clear.
Yeah. Her baby's adorable. She's going to be a mom too soon. So give her some love.
Thank you, guys.
Check in with her. This Instagram.
I know.
Yeah, I know, right?
Check in, make sure she's okay.
Yeah, Instagram doesn't tell you everything all the time. Cough, cough to all my family members.
Love it. All right. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, guys. This was so awesome. Thank you for the conversation. You guys are just doing great things, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. We try.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more like it, make sure you subscribe to the Empowered Women Pod and rate us 5 stars. Please feel free to also write a review on the podcast. It really does help to spread the Empowered Women message, and it moves us up in the podcast rankings. Plus, we love to hear from our listeners. You can follow us on Instagram at Empowered Women Pod, or if you have a question and want to reach out to Valerie, you can email us at empoweredwomenpod@icloud.com.